CBS News Update, I'm Sam Lutzinger, help wanted CIA director. David Petraeus has resigned, admitting he had an extramarital affair. Sources tell CBS News the FBI has been investigating communications between Petraeus and Paula Broadwell, who co-wrote a book on him. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
The scandal comes at a sensitive time for Petraeus and the CIA. 1 week before Petraeus was scheduled to testify in closed-door congressional hearings about the CIA's role in fending off an attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, which left the U.S. ambassador and two CIA contractors dead.
CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland says Petraeus will be hard to replace.
In that region that is in such turmoil, had known all of the world leaders, head of intelligence, head of the military across the Middle East, Afghanistan, Egypt, etc., and as a consequence was so ideally in many ways suited for this particular job.
President Obama says the CIA will thrive. CBS News Update, I'm Sam Lutzinger.
It's 7:32 here on WTOP. More about tonight's shocker. We bring in Rachel Smalkin, White House editor at Politico. Rachel, welcome back. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So the affair was discovered during this FBI investigation. Doesn't that tell us that Petraeus did not volunteer this information and come clean? This wasn't a magnanimous thing as much as it was discovered and he had to react in this way.
Yes, it does appear that it was discovered by accident, it seems. The FBI had been learning of this affair and then was apparently pushed to come clean at that point to exit before it all came out in detail, as these things tend to do in Washington. They take on a life of their own.
Petraeus was supposed to testify next week about that attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. Who will testify and what might we learn? And also, we're hearing that some people think that Petraeus himself should be subpoenaed.
Sure, this is obviously a sensitive time, and we're just learning more about this story, but it does come as the intelligence community remains under a lot of pressure over the attack in Benghazi. This, of course, is where Ambassador Chris Stevens and three others were killed. So Petraeus was slated to testify next Thursday at a closed-door Senate Intelligence Committee hearing. The agency's deputy director, Michael Morell, is going to take over that testimony in his place next week, and in fact, Morell is one of the names floating around as a possible successor to Petraeus at this point.
What about the direction of the CIA, the scope of its mandate, how the U.S. approaches foreign policy going forward? I know that wasn't all just in the hands of Petraeus. There's a big team involved here, but do you think any of that changes, or is it too soon to tell?
It's too soon to tell. I mean, much of that is directed out of the White House, and Petraeus was really, carrying out White House policy in that regard. So I would not expect a dramatic change based on the personnel in the direction. The White House was very careful to say that they were pleased with his performance on the job and that his departure was not related to that.
As they say in Washington, timing is everything. Before the Petraeus news, Washington was buzzing about the president's earlier afternoon statement about negotiating with the GOP on the Hill to avoid that fiscal cliff. What happened to that today?
What fiscal cliff, right? Something that
we've forgotten
very
about.
Excited about 4.5 hours ago. So we got a lot of news on the fiscal cliff, and this is really something that's heated up, I think, much more quickly than we expected after the presidential election. Imagine just Tuesday we were waiting to see who the next president would be. But this has quickly become the center of attention, or at least it was before the Petraeus news in Washington. We had sort of dueling statements today from President Obama and John Boehner. Obama saying he wants the wealthiest Americans to pay a little more in taxes. Boehner saying tax rates will not go up on anyone. So it sounds like big differences between the two, but actually both men left the door a little bit open to find a way to raise revenue and maybe close some loopholes and deductions that would raise revenue, but maybe be a face-saving move for both of them. So even though it looks like they're far apart, there does seem to be at least a little bit of room, and Obama is going to have congressional leaders over to the White House next week. He will also be having his first post-re-election news conference on Wednesday.
Rachel, I know you don't have the blueprint right in front of you. They don't allow the reporters to see. I mean, there is no blueprint at this point that we know of.
I think they're crafting the blueprint as we speak.
What does that mean, what you just said about leaving the door open? I mean, would we see tax breaks, higher taxes on some? Substantively, what would that mean?
Well, one option, if they do go the route of eliminating tax loopholes and deductions, would be to allow the president to say the wealthy are paying more. Obviously, that's something that he ran on and was very firm about in his reelection campaign. And House Speaker John Boehner can say he didn't raise taxes. But at the same time, more money would come into the government. So that might be a way to get to the answer and give both sides a little bit of a face-saving measure. President Obama has been very clear in saying that he feels he ran on this issue of a balanced approach to deficit cutting. You've got to both raise revenue and make cuts. And he's been very firm in saying he feels his reelection shows that voters endorsed his way of thinking.
Rachel, some are saying that we are starting to see a little more bounce in the step of no drama Obama.
Well, he had a good week, right? He had a good week. He won re-election, and his margin in the Electoral College was larger than most pundits had been predicting. You know, we all talked about this razor-tight race, and it could go either way in the swing states. Well, nearly all of them, except for North Carolina and Indiana, which most people had written off long ago, went for Obama. So, I mean, it was a very it was a victory that was larger than had been predicted. His people, of course, felt confident about their numbers all along. They were predicting victory in all of these states that he won. But he gets to go into his second term without some of the constraints perhaps on him in the first. In foreign policy, for example, he can really think about the shape that he wants to try to bring to the world, what he wants to do there without keeping an eye on re-election at the same time. The economy, while still not where he has said he wants it to be and where most people want it to be, does seem to finally be on the right track, so that frees him up to maybe concentrate on some other things as well.
Rachel, we have to break for traffic, but I don't want to let you go before asking, is there any talk at the White House of a lower key inauguration? You know, some people are saying scrap the parade, you know, just have it at the Capitol or maybe even at the White House. Anything like that? Or is that just talk from the outsiders saying, you know, austerity now, but the White House won't go for it?
Sure. I mean, I think that is something they'll want to be conscious of the optics about. Not a lot of firm information out on that yet, but obviously something we'll be reporting on in the next few weeks here at Politico.
Rachel, thank you very much. That's Rachel Smokin. She is the White House editor at Politico.